Welcome to a special episode of the Ask a Cycling Coach podcast presented by Trainer Road. I'm Coach Jonathan Lean. I'm joined by three of my colleagues here at Trainer Road, but they're super cool colleagues because they're racing Cape Epic. It's pretty amazing. We wanted to shed some light on this, give you some names to follow and give you some background and also learn from their approaches as they get ready for Cape Epic. It's going to be really exciting. So first up, Tiffany Keep. Tiffany, can you introduce yourself in terms of who you're riding for the team, any associated sponsors, who your partner is, and where your hopeful finish position is for Cape Epic?
Hey, everyone. Thanks for having me. I'm super excited for Epic this year. I'm riding for Team Valley Electrical. That's our team name. But my South African team at the moment is Valley Electrical Titan Racing. And yeah, we ride Titan Racing bikes, and which is a local bike brand as well. So of course, being able to do a race like this, which is pretty much like the Tour de France of mountain biking, is super cool for the bike brand. And really excited to take on this challenge. This has been a bucket list race for me for a long time. And I'm very excited to get the opportunity to race it this year. My partner is Hayley Preen. She is another local cyclist from South Africa based in Cape Town. And she's actually raced one Epic before where they podiumed on stages and they finished top five overall in the women's elites category last year. So she's definitely a pretty strong partner to have. And I'm glad to have her by my side this year to help guide me through the race. This will be my first Cape Epic. So I'm just hoping to get to the finish with Hayley, and anything else on top of that is a bonus, but obviously we're going to give it our best shot. And it's quite exciting to be kind of like the young upcoming team in this race, and will potentially be a cool partnership going forward.
That's awesome. And that if you have paid attention or followed along with Cape Epic at all, like their social accounts or anything else, you might have seen Tiffany. She made the list of riders to watch with her partner. That was pretty cool to see. That was exciting for me. Really cool stuff.
Yeah.
Rousseau, also racing for Valley Electrical. Is that correct? Or Valley Electric?
Yeah, Valley Electrical Titan Racing. Yeah, we had to import Tiffany's partner, and she's not on our bike brand, so that's why we had to get a little bit creative there. But it's still really cool that we can make it happen and have them line up. I'm really excited to see how they go.
I'm sure people remember you from when we did it back in 2021. I think they call that the 2021 edition. It was tricky since it was like pushed into a weird time in October instead of the normal March slot. But Rousseau, you're doing it again. You're back for the Epic.
Yeah, back at it. I actually thought about it today. Like that Epic that I did with you guys was my first Epic. The year before that got canceled. I was entered and ready to do it, and then that got cancelled like literally 2 days before. And then last year I got like a last minute call up to do it with our team boss. So it just would have been more of like a social outing, and
for you
just a ride for me. Just a ride, but another Epic under my belt. And unfortunately I got COVID like the Wednesday or Thursday before, so that was terrible timing. So not a good track record for starting, but I finished the one that I started, so hopefully that's good, and no illnesses or anything like that going around. I'm riding with HB Kruger.
I rode with him a lot when we did it. He was doing like what you said, riding with a friend who was not a pro level racer. And we would find each other and ride together most days. What a great guy. That'll be great.
My and Tiffany's teammate, and we've signed another powerful rider this year, Gert Haynes. So the original plan was for him and Gert to ride together as like the A team, and then myself and Matt as the backup team. But as you know, like things change every day, and we had to make the choice last week to swap partners because HB had his appendix removed 3 weeks ago with surgery. So he was off the bike for 2 weeks at a very bad time. So I think he'll be strong throughout, and we probably just going to have to take a consistent approach. But I'm thinking, he's probably going to have that fifth, sixth gear missing on the high intensity side. But otherwise, definitely a powerful powerful rider, and he obviously prepared well for it. He's, yeah. So I think he's probably going to hurt me towards the end.
No doubt. Exciting. And then yeah. Our last rider here is Keegan Bontekonig. Keegan, who are you riding with and what are your ambitions?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm riding for Insect Science Pro Cycling. This will be my fourth Cape Epic. So yeah, it's well experienced, but I think I'm teaming up with Arnoud de Toy and South Third Cape Epic together. So we race throughout the year together, and yeah, we know each other really well. Like, I know exactly when he's suffering. He knows how I feel, and yeah, we get along really well, both on and off the bike. So yeah, leading up to Epic, we've been super similar. For the first time, we found, like, previously we've been kind of mismatched in, like, terms of preparation, where I would be really good at a certain aspect and he would be really good at a different aspect, and just weren't lining up. And I think now we've kind of got it quite dialed. So yeah, quite excited to see how it goes. Our main goal is the African, Abs African jersey. There's quite a good, like, roster of riders going for that. And I think with that, I think you can probably aim for a top 10 GC. If you want to win the African jersey, you normally have to finish around sixth, like between fourth and sixth on GC to win that category. So yeah, those are our aspirations.
And that's the African jersey is for a team that is both riders from Africa, and as a result, they can chase the African jersey. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Cool. So Keegan also did the race the year that we did it, if you're remembering back to then. These are three awesome Trainer Road employees that you can put down on your list for people to watch as we go throughout this race. The coverage of this race, if you haven't watched it before, is incredible. I'd say it's even better than what you get with, like, the tour and everything else. They have e-bike riders in the field that have cameras that broadcast the signal live. They have helicopters following the race. They have stationary cameras all throughout, and the tracker paired with the video coverage that you get on YouTube is just fantastic. The commentary is great. It's really good to watch. It's fantastic. So if you are going to tune in and watch Tiffany Rousseau and Keegan and track their dots and see if you can see them out on course. It's going to be pretty exciting stuff. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about the race. First, it's a prologue. The prologue is that you start in a TT style format. It's going to be short gaps in between you and another team, 27 kilometers and 750 meters of climbing. So, pretty fast and spicy day. That's going to be a hard start to it. And it kind of gives everybody a pecking order, and it puts them into different groups for all the age groupers as well. So then they can start in the A group, B group, C group, et cetera, and so on. And then I'm going to run through the stats really quickly on the rest of them. Stage one, 98 kilometers and 2,550 meters of climbing. That's going to be a really, really hard day. For those like keeping track at home, that's darn near, I think, almost like a 9,000 feet of climbing we're getting close to there. That's a really, really hard day, and 70 miles of mountain biking. So stage one is going to filter everybody out. Stage two, 116 kilometers, so even longer, but slightly less climbing, 1,850 meters. Stage three, 100 kilometers and 2,300 meters of climbing. And that's a big, long transfer stage where they go from one point to the next with it, what it sounds like, basically an unclimbable climb. Like, you can't ride it. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, that's it.
Stage four is like a reset in terms of, it's another similar, like a prologue style effort where it's a time slotted time trial. It's longer though. In this case, it's 47 kilometers and 875 meters of climbing. So kind of, if you want to call it a break day, but that's really going to be a day to get a lot of time for you fast pros. Whereas the amateurs might take that as a bit more of like a rest-ish day if they can. And then stage five gets back to long stuff, 102 kilometers and 2,450 feet of climbing. So very close to stage one. And then if you look at stage six, it's only 78 kilometers and 2,300 meters of climbing. So the climb to distance ratio is really, really, that one's really hard. And the final stage, stage seven, is 80 kilometers and 2,400 meters of climbing. So the first thing that stands out to me on this course is that the first day is really hard, but then as the course, like as it goes on, it seems like the days, barring that little, that in between day on stage four, seems like the days just get harder. With it being hot and possibly rainy and possibly everything else, like the weather did you get there? I want to get into your preparation for this. Tiffany, did you do anything special for heat acclimation? And then we'll run around with heat acclimation for all of us, or even cold weather. I don't know, but did you do it? Have you been doing anything to get used to the heat?
So thankfully in South Africa, we're quite fortunate if you live, especially in this area where, a lot of it, we are actually going to be racing through this area for quite a bit of the race. You don't really have to do much in the way of heat acclimatization because when we train in the heat every day. Especially in summer this time of year. I did our national road champs a couple of weeks ago where we started at 10 a.m. and finished at around 2 p.m., which is like the hottest time of the day. And the average temperature was 40 degrees, to give you an example of... Yeah, so that was quite hot. Thankfully, I think at this time of year in March, like it's starting to cool down a little bit. We've actually, checking the weather, we've seen that it's going to probably be a little bit cooler next week, which will be quite nice. Because there's not much worse than spending a long and very hot day out on the bike in the baking South African sun. But I think in that way that we are quite prepared for the hot weather that can be thrown at us. In terms of the cold weather, unfortunately, it's kind of like a bit of the inverse. we had some rain last week and I literally kitted up in like all my wet weather gear to get out the house. I looked like I was going to ride in like -5 degrees. And so, I definitely overdressed for the occasion. But I guess like... Yeah, if it rains and if it's cold, then we're just going to have to deal with it. I have done a bit of racing in the cold, but only last year. So it will be hard if it is like that. But we can only cross our fingers and hope for some nice mild weather, even though we'll probably not get that. But it will probably be either one extreme or the other. You just have to adapt or die, I guess.
Yeah, as it tends to be down there. In terms of training, Tiffany, have you changed up your training for Cape Epic being this your first one? And is there anything that you've done uniquely in your training for this race?
So this year I have increased my volume for my training quite a bit over last year. And especially with bearing in mind that this race, I mean, it's like a 35-hour week that you'll be doing racing round about that. And so that's quite a lot packed into 8 days. And so you want your body to kind of be accustomed to that, taking on that kind of load. You'll never be able to fully prepare for the higher intensity 8 days that will await us. With me, and this being my first epic, it's kind of maybe a bit of a blessing in disguise that I don't know what's coming yet. Like, I'm quite nervous because I've only heard stories about how tough this race is. And just by looking at the stages, I had a brief taste of what the epic is like last year when I got a 24-hour call up to start. Unfortunately, had COVID and withdrew after the prologue. So I didn't really even get to experience the race, but after following it after that, I got an idea of how hard the race really was. Last year looked like a super tough edition. I'm sure this year will be no different. So I've been trying to ride my mountain bike quite a bit for those longer rides. I'm pretty happy with where my form is at the moment, and we're not going in overcooked, that's for sure. So crossing fingers that I'll be able to handle it, and looking forward to the challenge that awaits, I guess.
So key things I'm hearing is, yes, heat adaptation, yes, increasing volume from what you've done previously, anticipation of the big week, and then also not panic training and coming in overcooked a big week.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Three good takeaways there. Rousseau, heat training, or are you doing anything unique for your training for this? You've done Epic before.
I think the last time I did Epic, I had about like a 3 weeks notice. So I was training, but not really training specifically for Epic or anything like that. but we kind of fixed this in that I'll definitely ride Epic last year, kind of November. And it's been like a very consistent 3 months of pretty much just going up from where I was. So it's been like really like kind of consistent, but not like overdoing it and getting sick or getting injured or so I think we got that right pretty good. I did kind of get to a point where when we started racing and it was like stage race after stage race, because I had like 2 4-day stage races within like two, 3 weeks. So that was like quite a lot. And then I ended up getting a little bit sick before the one, getting better, raced, and then kind of you hit your immune system with the 4-day race and kind of afterwards I was sick again. So that wasn't good. But it was maybe like a blessing in disguise. So I like just took a week easy and it came kind of at a good time. It's also like Tiffany said, it's been like an easier kind of last two weeks. And this week also will just be some short intensity, but nothing hectic. In terms of other prep, like us, yeah, been trying to ride my mountain bike a lot because and also like do not go if I have 5 hours or 4 hours to do, like go and do trails, go and like try climb 2,000 meters, like to just get your body and your conditioning right for that. I think that's played a big part in my prep. And yeah, kind of heat acclimatization goes with that. Like if you're out there for 4 or 5 hours in the areas we're going to ride in December or Jan, it's going to get hot. So yeah, just like also making sure you get your feeling right in terms of that. And like preparing, doing your training rides as if it's a race fuel-wise and like getting your gut used to processing the gels and the mix and all that.
We'll get to nutrition in a bit with the race, because that's like a key point that we need to cover for sure. So I'm hearing for you elements of specificity that are really important for your training. Like when you, amidst the intervals or the prescribed workouts that you're doing, you also are finding ways to incorporate trail. I mean, you have the benefit of actually riding the trails, the very same trails that you guys might go on during the race, but riding similar trails or riding similar terrain, similar profiles in one way or another, while you're getting in your training. So that's a key takeaway that I'm hearing there from that. So,
yeah, for sure.
Perfect.
Cool.
Keegan, how about you? Fourth Epic. So you've got a lot of experience in here. What are you doing in terms of unique things with your training leading into this?
Yeah, I think the main thing was that I raced quite a bit. A lot of that was like mixing it up between stage racing, cross country. So for heat adaptation, it was quite a bit of racing kind of in the temperatures we would race in Epic. Cross countries here, we race at about 2 p.m. And we were lucky enough to have a double header of like 2 days, a Saturday and a Sunday of cross country of 2 p.m. and a super big field of international riders. We had like Nino, the one day we had the Scotch Ram team there. And then the previous day we had like Alan and quite a few, Victor Koretsky, which made the pace really hard. So I think that's one thing that I've done is had a really good build up throughout December. But previously, I think I would overdo it in December and go into like kind of January, February, a little bit tired, where kind of took it a bit easier and used my racing to kind of sharpen up. And yeah, the getting used to the heat that's just came with racing, I think, putting you training with what you're going to race. In terms of other things that I've done is we went to Hermanas. We took a look at like quite a few of like day one and day two of the routes. The rest of like after the stage four time trial, it's all kind of our local trails and we've done it quite a lot. So we know those really well. But I thought checking out the first few days in Hermanas was important. And also doing it with my teammate Arnu, we were able to do some intervals on quite a few of the climbs and yeah, check out the route, which I think is going to play quite a key role later on. And yeah, other things that I'm trying is like kind of equipment based is foam inserts on my tires. We've run the Maxxis Aspens and like throughout the entire year last year, we ran the same set without a single puncture. But just because of the terrain for this year, we are going to run foam inserts. And another thing I really struggled with was nutrition. So what I've really focused on throughout my training is increasing my like carb intake per hour, just so that I can train my guts to be able to do it for 8 days. It's really easy to do it for, say, 1 day or 2 days, but to do it for 8 days is where things change. So yeah, I've kind of changed my eating off the bike in preparation for it, but also changed like how much I eat on the bike and what I eat is more solid food, and mixing that with gels.
Got it.
That's my preparation.
How many carbs per hour do you anticipate you'll be at during the race?
So I found like it's really hard for me to go more than 60 gram of carb per hour. I know a lot of people go up to 120 gram of carb per hour, but to do that for 8 days is really hard on your digestive system. So yeah, I'm going to stick to 60, between 60 and 80, and also like trying to ingest at least 100 milligrams of caffeine per hour. I don't want to do too much, but yeah, just stay on top of the caffeine. Yeah.
Yeah. So you said that you're going to be taking in through a mix of gels and solids, right?
Yeah. That's a plan. I found previously that having gels can really like hurt your stomach, or also having too much solid in your stomach is your body can't really digest it quite easily or fast enough. So mixing it. And in terms with having such high temperatures, having enough water to kind of dilute that, because you need enough water to process those carbs. And I think that's also going to be something quite important.
Yeah. It's an interesting approach. Like you said, a lot of athletes can push north of that, but it is individually variable. Like that's one thing that we heard on the podcast just, a handful of months ago, but Mateo Jorgensen took in 160 grams per hour through the whole tour for 3 weeks. Right. And that's what he needed to do. And that's what he's trained himself to do. And that's what they can do. But boy, that's like a whole process to be able to get to the point where you can just through mix and gels, take all that in and still function as a human. So
man eats a lot.
Nutrition wise for you, Tiffany, how much are you planning on taking in, and what are you planning to eat during the race?
So I also work on around 60 grams of carbs an hour. I try eat every half an hour or every 20 to 30 minutes during the race. And because of the nature of the race, I usually try start with gels. Ideally, actually, like you'd want to start off with a bar. But in the start of a race, when everyone's reshuffling and trying to get into position, like it is sometimes hard to get a bar down. So having a gel is pretty easy. In the past, I used to only really use caffeine gels. And this year, I've tried to switch things up a little bit and kind of decrease my caffeine intake, just purely because over 8 days, as Keegan mentioned, like your digestive system really takes a hit. And so kind of achieve more of a healthy balance there. We've got a new nutrition partner on board this year, and they have some really nice options, a lot of variety when it comes to your supplements. So I race with a pure carb mix and caffeine and non-caffeinated gels as well. And I try taking some solids, and I think for this race, like trying things like rice cakes and date balls and that kind of thing, like, is maybe not the worst idea, because you are spending quite a long time out on the bike. You do need some form of like proper food at some point, but it will mainly be bars and gels, starting with gels, progressing into solids. Also with the hot weather, like Keegs mentioned, like I think diluting the carb mix as the race goes on is not always such a bad thing if you balance it with electrolytes. So you are increasing your electrolyte intake, making sure that you're properly hydrated, and still getting those necessary carbs in as well.
Awesome. And Rousseau, how many grams per hour do you plan to take in?
Also kind of around that range, maybe shooting for like closer to 80. Depending on how long the day is, like, I think like for a 3 hour day, you can manage it much better than for a 5 or 6 hour day. So, and also with the with the longer days, I try and like kind of be more on the, I feel like I've reached my, like my limit for gels is maybe like six. So I can't really take in more than six gels on any, if it's a 3 hour stage or 5 hour stage, like that's kind of where the, where I draw the line where you like your body like starts rejecting it. So, but I think also like mixing it up. So like Tiffany said, we've got a quite a cool nutrition partner and they've got options. So they've got like liquid gels, like fruit flavored, like kind of coffee. Like you say, you don't have like throughout a day, you could probably have like six different gels. Have a different gel every time and it doesn't like become boring. And like we've also had the like the privilege of like trying out all the flavors, see what we like, see what we don't like. So I think like especially over 8 days, like flavor fatigue is definitely a thing. So even though like I generally race on the like the race mix, which is kind of it has like a little bit of caffeine, like but like not a lot. I'd probably like mix it up with the rice mix and the pure carb mix, kind of maybe start with the rice mix with the caffeine towards the middle, have some of the pure carb and then maybe again caffeine at the end. And like Tiffany said, trying to, especially on those long days, somewhere in the middle, have like some real food. It's a little piece of banana bread with nut butter or a little like, yeah, there's a few options, date balls or rice cakes, just kind of something to neutralize the just like kind of offset that. And I think I've also in the past I've kind of just took like not a very scientific approach to my nutrition. It's just been like cool, like you need to drink bottles, you need to eat stuff, like not really focusing. So I think like since like last year I've kind of paid more closer attention to it and it does help. It's nice not to blow like at the end. Because you feel well.
And especially in the stage race, only makes the next days harder when that happens, right? So
you're eating for tomorrow actually, not for today. So that's kind of my approach on it.
Awesome.
But yeah, no, that's pretty much
I like how
it.
All three of you are familiar with where your like current limits are at in terms of and what like your preferences are, and you're sticking to that. You know, it'd be disastrous to go into the race and just think that like, well, now since it's the race, I'm going to completely change everything up. So, cool. Good to hear. All right. We're going to kind of close this one up by looking ahead at which stage you're looking forward to the most from like, where you hope to gain an advantage. The trails are good. Something like that, that you really like. And then also which one are you looking forward to with the most apprehension as well? Tiffany, can you kick us off on the two stages that occupy those roles for you?
So I think the kind of like basic race plan that I've thought of kind of points us to suit like stage one, or prologue, not stage one. The prologue, we'd like to clap it, as we say in South Africa, and like really go and try and do our best. Hayley and I are quite good over a short distance, and so I have a bit of mainly cross-country background on the mountain bike. And so that kind of shorter stage suits me. And we're going to try and get a good position on GC there, start off on a good note, and then really ride ourselves into the race. We're not trying to go out and win the thing necessarily. We'd like to do as well as we can, but I believe that the best way to approach this, especially with it being my first epic, is to pace ourselves well and then possibly go for some stages later on in the race when everyone else starts to get tired. So the prologue and stage four, which is the time trial, we'd be hoping to make up any positions on GC there. Stage one is going to be a killer, so I think that is the one I'm feeling most apprehensive about. Stage five is also going to be quite hard. I actually did a bit of a route recon in Elgin a few weeks ago, and I think it's the terrain that makes it so hard to ride there. Like it's sandy and it's rocky and it's really physically taxing. So it's going to be hard. I think like I'm really going to look forward to the trails. I love the descents. That's like kind of where, that's one of my biggest strengths, I would say. Hayley and I are quite well matched in the way that she climbs really well. And we can both ride a similar speed on the flats. And I'm a bit faster on the descent. So we complement each other in that way. And so, yeah, I think we're hoping to play the long game.
Nice. That's kind of nice to have stage one be the ominous one, because that gets over with really quickly. Then you can just get that out of the way and keep going.
For sure.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Rousseau, which stage are you looking forward to with apprehension and also excitement?
Yeah. So like I said earlier, like HB is recovering from appendix surgery. So we really don't know where he's going to be at. I'm hoping that what we've spoken about, like we should also kind of take a steady approach and ride ourselves into it. So like not try and, I think I'll probably be on the front for the prologue, just kind of try and set a pace that he can like ride in the wheel and we still like get a decent time and we're not like losing it on day one, but we definitely shouldn't be going out flat out for like a cross country effort just because he comes from a road background. So his technical skills definitely isn't as up to scratch as some of the guys. I think he's improved a lot, but I'm probably still a little bit faster than him on that. So I think, like Tiffany said, we're going to try and we'd also try and like ride ourselves into it and then target one of the transfer stages, depending on how we feel. We'd probably take stage five or stage seven as like a kind of a goal stage to try and maybe crack a top 10 or just see how we go. Me and Rob got pretty close 2 years ago. We ended up finishing like 11th or 12th. That was our best stage result. So I think like a top 10 would be really cool.
And achievable too. Yeah. I think that could be exciting, especially on the last day. I feel like on the last day, the hopes and dreams of many are bashed. And by that time, everyone's taken a few knocks, you know? So if you can just withstand and hang tough, then you have a good chance at it. Awesome.
For sure.
Very cool.
But other than that, just kind of try and look after each other. And hopefully if I'll be playing nice to him the first 3 days, he'll kill me the next three. So I think that's the plan.
Yeah.
The tables will turn. Yeah. And Keegan, for you, which stage are you looking forward to the most and which one gives you some butterflies?
Yeah, Arno and I are both cross-country riders. So the prologue is a day where like everyone's going to give it their all. But I think I go on the same route as Tiff and Rousseau with managing your efforts. I think stage one is going to be really brutal. Everybody is always fresh for day one. Everyone's super motivated and everyone wants to like give it their all. But I found previously that if you dig too deep of a hole in stage one, you pay for it like in a big way by stage seven. So yeah, I think day one is important to kind of take it at 90% instead of your absolute max, because stage two is brutal. Stage two is really going to be hard. Although it's a bit less climbing, it's really slow going and really hard. So that's one of the stages that I would say actually excite me because of the trails, but one that's going to be the toughest, I think, is going to be probably stage five, the transfer stage, just because of that main Cronenberg climb. But everyone kind of looks over the last day, and the last day is our kind of home trails. And it's really, I think the last day is one that I'm probably going to love the most because we know these trails super well, but it's kind of a negative in that sense because you know exactly where you're going. And that's going to be a really, really tough day. But hopefully managing your efforts, you can take up some, like you can make up a lot of time by being fresher the second half than going too hard the first half.
I'm not seeing much, if any, flat in this year's edition of Cape Epic. Stage two is the flattest that it gets. But the rest of them, it's up and down. It's going to be quite challenging. I'm super excited to follow you three along. And for those that do want to follow Tiffany, where can they follow you on Instagram? So then they can follow you throughout the race. No pressure on updating, by the way. If you need to turn the phone off during the race, that's okay. But so at least people can see after the fact.
I'll probably post on my stories and do any posts as we go along through the race. So you can follow me at Tiffany Keep on Instagram. I'm quite active on there. So that's the place to be.
Great. And yeah. Rousseau?
Same thing. At Rousseau Becker, and I think we'll probably do some updates from the team side, Valley Electrical Titan Racing, that covers me and Tiffany as well. Yeah. So, yeah.
Awesome. And Keegan?
Yeah, I'm Keegan at Keegan Bonte on Instagram. But yeah, same as Rousseau and Tiff. If you want to follow a lot of updates, like during the day, our team page, Insect Science MTB, we will be posting there every single day, and also updates from the water points from our technical staff. So yeah, that's where you can follow all the action.
We'll put the links down to the Instagram accounts that were mentioned there down below. I'm sure that these three are also on Strava. Perhaps you can find them on there and search through there. Also, if three of you remember to tag Trainer Road in any of the stories or anything else that you post, then we'll repost those, so then people can find them that way. And hopefully even more people can follow you along. It'd be fantastic. This is going to be a really exciting stage. Looking at the profiles myself, that stage five, just knowing how, and I assume it starts out for all of you only more intense than it did for us amateurs, but it was like a 90-minute XCO every day. Then after that, it was like, stay on the gas for three more hours and see how it goes. And looking at the starts to stage five, stage six, and stage seven, all of them start out with huge climbs. That's going to be really interesting to see how the racing plays out, and it's going to be super dynamic. I can't wait. Thanks for doing this. And once again, if you're interested in following Cape Epic, just search for Cape Epic on YouTube and you will find their channel. It's fantastic coverage that you can find live streams. The live streams are then archived, so you can watch them thereafter. Incredible coverage. You'll get coverage for the whole entire stage, which is just amazing. You'll be able to see the whole thing. It's some of the best race coverage you'll find. And it's really exciting for us here at Trainer Road to have three employees that are doing it and three employees to cheer for. It's just super cool. So with that, thanks y'all for joining us. Good luck at the race. Go strong, and we'll talk to you all next time.
Cool. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having.